Thank you, Brother Dale. I was praying for you this morning.
I was.
Brother Dale Simpson is a gift to the body of Christ. I have learned so much from him. And anyway, it's just a little personal thing there. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a day we can come into the house of the Lord and to worship you and to honor you and to be refreshed and renewed and to bless you. Thank you for the freedoms that we have to be able to come into this house. And I pray that we would leave transformed. That, Father, if we came in here expecting that it would be met and that we would have a mirror image of Jesus in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to share, let's just start out in Galatians. This scripture sort of jumped out at me a couple weeks ago, and I want to just talk about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 24, I'm going to hone in on one particular area, but if we could just start there. Galatians 5, 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Verse 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." At verse 24, those who belong to Christ have crucified. Sometimes we read over that passage and we sort of miss that. Can get a little controversial, but the scripture says those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. And I don't know about you, I've said it from the pulpit before, I appreciate the simplicity of the gospel. I think sometimes we make it very complicated. We try to make it say things it doesn't say. But the word of the Lord says those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. This doesn't say it's not necessary to crucify the flesh. It doesn't say that it's optional. It says very simply that they've done it. So then could it be said that if you haven't crucified the flesh, those passions and desires, then you don't belong to Christ Jesus? There is a process, and we must engage in it. We must crucify the flesh. That's the way it is. And the church is not preaching this message very loudly today. Something we would like to explain away and think we have freedom to do whatever we want when we want, but the Word of God says that if we belong to Him, that will be done. I have a garden. Those of you that know me know about my garden. I talk a lot about my garden. And every year at my birthday in April, we redo our garden. It's kind of a little birthday gift to me. And this year was no exception. And I'd like to tell you that I planted my garden this year, but I did not. My refuge ladies did that for me. I just went with them to the store and told them what I liked. Now, Miss Patricia, she has a lot of knowledge about gardening. And she would say, "This is what we need to do." And I'd say, "But I want that pretty plant with those flowers and those colors." And she'd say, "Teen, that's not going to work. That plant's going to die in your garden." And I said, "But I want it to be pretty." And Maggie would say, She wants instant gratification. I said, yes, I do. So Patricia had to sort of calm me down and talk about things that would eventually grow and things that would last throughout the summer and things that would be, you know, would be pretty all year. And we did get some color, and it looks really, really good. But while we were in the plant center, in the garden center, I came across these one plants that did have, they had no color on them, they just had green leaves. And I looked at the little tag that was in the plant, and it said it was a strawberry plant. And I said, I want a strawberry plant in my garden. So she said, it's strawberries. I said, I know, but I want strawberries. Can I plant strawberries in my flower garden? And she said, sure, if you want to. So I said, well, that's what I want. So she said, okay, let's buy a couple, and you'll just build them up, and we'll, you know, plant them in there, and you'll have strawberries. So I was very excited about that. But they didn't look like strawberry plants. They just were green leaves. And the only way I knew that they were strawberry plants is they had this little tag in it that said this is a strawberry plant. So a couple weeks later, after it was planted, this individual came to my house and knocked on the door, and they were so excited. They said, boy, your garden looks beautiful. I said, thank you. And they said, and you have strawberry plants. And I said, how did you know that? And they said, because there's strawberries on them? That's how it should be for Christians. How do you know she's a Christian? Because there's fruit. I see strawberries on that strawberry plant. That's how I know it's a strawberry plant. God forbid that somebody should say of you, I'm not really sure if they're a Christian. The word of the Lord says you should be bearing fruit. Matthew 7:19-20 says that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. That individual knew that was a strawberry plant because there were strawberries. They didn't need a degree in plant biology. They didn't need to study botany to know that it was a strawberry plant. Any more than we don't need to be an ordained pastor or go through seminary to identify a Christian. God has made it very clear in his word that we will know them by their fruit. If that strawberry plant does not grow strawberries, it might be because it hasn't been watered. Maybe it's not growing strawberries because the soil doesn't have enough nutrients. Or maybe it's not sat under the sun long enough. If those elements are in place, then I expect strawberries to grow. I expect it. If that plant produced lima beans, I wouldn't be very happy. I don't like lima beans. I would say that's not a strawberry plant. And if a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian and you're not producing the fruit of a Christian, then I would say there's something wrong. And I've had to examine my life. See, I told you a long time ago, I don't get up here and speak about something God's not run right through me. And he had me examine every area of my life. Some areas producing more fruit than others. It's a process. But there's some areas of my life that are producing lima beans. But I want to be a strawberry plant. I love, have you ever come to my house, see my, they're little tiny bitty strawberries, and they're so sweet. But I want that. That's what I've planted, and that's what the grand gardener has planted. He said, this is the fruit, and those who belong to me will crucify the lusts of the flesh. So there's a purpose in God describing the fruit of the Spirit as the fruit of the Spirit. And all throughout God's Word, He gives us natural pictures to understand spiritual truths. The qualities of an individual's life who call themselves a Christian should be producing the fruit listed in Galatians 5. And I want to look particularly at the last item listed in that long list of things, the fruit of the Spirit. And that last item listed there is self-control. That's what we're going to talk about today. Self-control. So y'all get your army boots on with your steel-toed shoes. Because we need to really examine this if we're going to portray Jesus Christ correctly. So this word self-control sort of causes some conflict sometimes in my heart. Because I wonder, well, what is self-control? Is it controlling the flesh? Is it the Spirit controlling my flesh? Is it my will overcoming my flesh? Self-control under the guise of the Spirit. I sometimes have some conflict with that. But as I was pondering these things, I felt the Lord break it down in this way. If you could see it written as it is, self-control, see it in your mind's eye, self-control, that self being behind the control of the Holy Spirit. Self being behind the control of the Holy Spirit. Another word for self-control is temperance. Webster's dictionary defines it this way, moderation or self-restraint in action or in statement. So if this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it means that our flesh and our self is restrained in action under the Holy Spirit. There's a work that needs to take place in us when we are talking about self-control. To be tempered in our actions and attitudes. We sometimes think that this area of self-control is linked to sexual sin. We'll often hear they just need to have self-control. Or maybe in the area of alcohol. Or I've heard it used to have self-control in the area of eating. These things are definitely included. However, I look at the church today and I see a lack of self-control in many, many, many other areas. I see a lack of self-control in anger, in gossip, and in slander, dishonesty, in pride, and self-centeredness. I see a lack of self-control with young people and old people, with video games, in spending, pornography, in lust, in gambling. There is an attitude that I can have what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want. There's no need for restraint. I'm under grace. I have freedom in Christ. But this belief is devastating when the head of the home has no fruit of self-control. Our lack of self-control doesn't just affect us. It affects everyone around us. You do not live on an island by yourself. The decisions that you make affect everyone around you. This lack of self-control causes distrust. Our integrity is destroyed, and our relationships are compromised. You see, we can put a template of God's word over that and say, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal. I'm a believer and I can do what I want and I have freedom in Christ and all I need to do is repent. But I'm going to tell you that your actions are producing fruit and someone will eat the fruit of those actions. It does not just affect you. And though you may repent and move on in holiness, you still have left behind those that you gave a plate of that fruit to. It's particularly devastating when you see it in the effects of the generations that will come after you. I know scores and scores of young people who will not believe in Jesus Christ because of the attitudes and the position of their parents. They say one thing, but they have no self-control in their life. And so they've chosen to go another way and expect their children to believe them when they say Jesus Christ is Lord and you must serve him. It's hypocritical. The church is being destroyed because of a lack of self-control. God's word doesn't allow us to just live however our flesh desires. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27 says, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. There's a responsibility that we have to beat our body into submission, to tell your flesh it will not rise up and control you. We need to buffet our body, to plant self-control. We can't preach one thing and do another. What message are we sending the world? We look just like them. Scripture says they'll know you by your fruit. Or what do we do with 2 Timothy 3:1-5? Scripture says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They'll be brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash. See, this is the fruit of the unsaved. This is the fruit of the ungodly. They will be without self-control. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Have nothing to do with someone who has no self-control. You see, we need to remember that although Satan was defeated at the cross, he has not yet surrendered. He has not yet surrendered. He is still seeking to render you and me ineffective in the work God has for us to do. If we fail to discipline ourselves, if we fail to have self-control, then we will not accomplish the work that God has in store for us. If we fail to bring our appetites and passions under control, then they will control us, and they will disqualify us for service in the kingdom of God. There's a scripture that gives us a detailed look at what a life of a man or woman, what they resemble when they have or they lack self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says this, whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Another translation says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. He is like a city broken down without walls, totally open to the attacks of the enemy. There's nothing around him, nothing around his household, nothing around his life that will protect him. He's like a city without walls of protection. It's the idea that invaders have come and captured the city and left it without any defenses. It's a defeated city. A man or a woman who live without self-control is a defeated city. When someone's defenses are down because of lack of self-control or self-discipline, he or she is vulnerable to the attacks. And after the attacks, there will be devastation. Their family is defeated as well. You see, this is what we see when we watch a family that's been ruined by adultery or sexual sin or rage leading to domestic violence. We see it in families where there's a love for money that leads to bankruptcies and overspending, to use of drugs and pornographic material. Our lives and homes are destroyed because we're a city that's been taken captive and left without defense. And it all stems from a lack of self-control. You will never be victorious if you believe that coming to church on Sunday morning is enough to keep you safe from these attacks. If you think it's enough to walk into church and have enough self-discipline to get out of bed at 9 o'clock to be here by 10, and that's going to keep you and your family safe, for those your loved ones, for those of you not married, you were deceived. It's not enough. It's not enough. You will be a city whose walls are broken down. You must read, study, memorize, meditate, pray, live the Word of God. You need to do those things that those walls can be built up around you. You must be disciplined in your pursuit of God. At home, at work, and at play. You have a responsibility to God to produce the fruit that He said can come from the life, will come from the life of a believer. When the enemy comes then to attack, after those walls have been rebuilt, your walls will then be strong. And the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, it doesn't say if he comes. It says when he comes. It's going to happen. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's good news. It says, when he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The standard is the Word of God. The standard are the walls that you've built up through self-discipline and self-control. I think about our graduates. My daughter Mariah, as others here in this fellowship, graduated this month. Some from high school, some from college. And it took a lot of self-discipline to get there. Particularly for those who are homeschooled. They didn't have five or six teachers over them telling them they had one. And in Mariah's case, she had to be very disciplined to get that work done, get up every day. She couldn't spend time on the computer and just do whatever she wanted because she was home. She had to learn self-control. She had to learn self-discipline. It wasn't always easy. There were times when public school was out and she had to be in school. There were times when I said, listen, it doesn't matter, it's 7 o'clock at night. You got work to do. There were just times in her life when it got kind of hard. But she persevered. She disciplined herself. She kept on keeping on. And she graduated with an accomplishment that she can be very proud of. Didn't come without effort or energies. It was not easy. But through it, she matured, and she found out that the process was worth it. Why do we lose that discipline once we graduate from school? We cram for those tests, or we study hard, we are diligent in our studies, and then we graduate and we get our certificate. Those of you that are Calvary Commission, you know, you've studied hard, you pray, you do your papers, and then you graduate and you move on, and we lose that. And I want to just challenge you, don't ever graduate from being a student of the Word. Don't ever graduate. I don't care how long you've been in school. Don't ever graduate. And one last word to our graduates. This is a word I really felt the Lord put on my heart for you. Is that you need to decide, the graduates here, you need to decide who you will be before you decide what you will be. You need to decide who you will be before you decide what you will be. Because what you will be may change. Who you will be will live on in this lifetime. Too often we grow up physically, but we stay immature. Instead of the fruit of self-control, we have produced the fruit of controlling others. We keep our focus on how others should be, how others behave, the shortcomings of everyone else, instead of looking at our own fruit and realizing that we may be just a bunch of green leaves without any fruit at all. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, if self-control is yours and it abounds, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." You will never stumble. You mean having self-control as a fruit of the Spirit? If I have that, I will never stumble. It's what the Word says. It's what the Word says. The Scripture says you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. We need to take responsibility for who we are. We need to take responsibility for the decisions that we make each day. For those decisions will impact our tomorrows. We need to stop blaming everybody else and everything else for the fruit or the lack of it that's in our life. We need to quit blaming those others for our bad attitudes, our bad choices, and our poor behavior. I don't want my life, nor your life, to fulfill Matthew 7:19, that says that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That truth should cut us to our core. And I have witnessed so many people fall in their walk with Christ because of a lack of self-control. They have knowledge. They know the scriptures. They have zeal. They have faith. They have no self-control. And they fall into a pit that causes destruction, sometimes irreparable destruction. So how do we obtain it? How do we get this? We need to recognize, first of all, that it is a work of the Spirit. You see, many unsaved people have learned to be tempered. Many unsaved people have learned to have self-control, but it's not a work of the Spirit. Because there's no fruit in it. They've just learned how to respond correctly. But it's not under the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to first recognize it is a work of the Spirit. And then we need to repent. To repent where we see we've tried to overcome on our own accord. You see, whatever that is that pops up in your life that you do not have self-control over, you've got to bring it up underneath the control of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be real about it and to crucify the flesh in it. Don't explain it away. Don't give yourself room to partake in it. You need to buffet your body and make it your slave. How desperately do you want to produce fruit of the kingdom of God? That when the master walks by and he looks for that fruit because he wants it, that you desire more than anything else in your life to have something that he will be pleased with. Avoid it at all cost, that sin that so easily besets you. Taking captive those thoughts, because that's where sin begins. You need to begin a life of true discipline and prayer. Any and every temptation can be overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what it is. The power of God is greater. You need to be disciplined in your life, in prayer, in worship, in praise. To be disciplined, to rebuild those walls with the Word of God. And I know this sounds a little bit simplified, but then you need to pray for self-control. I mean, we pray for everything else. We pray for love. Oh, God, I need to love them by the power of your Spirit. Help me to love. God, I need peace. By the power of your Spirit, my circumstances do not look like I can have peace, but I know by your Spirit I can have peace. We pray for those things. We pray for the fruits of love and joy, peace, long-suffering, forbearance, gentleness. And we pray for those things. But how many of us pray for self-control? Specifically, I need self-control by the Spirit of God. Not in my flesh. I know young people who are being destroyed because they spend 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day on the computer. They have no self-control. And they say, oh, it's Christian games. We're not killing anybody. There's no self-control. The issue is self-control. To be disciplined. To use your mind, to be disciplined with the things that God has given you in your life. Use that time to read the Word of God, to be in His presence. You'll produce fruit. And you won't produce lima beans. You'll produce strawberries. Because you can't help it. It's a work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will do it. God will not withhold this from you. If you pray for self-control, He will not withhold it from you. He desires to give you this fruit. This goal, what's the goal? When our cities have had walls broken down because we've been a people without borders. The goal is to have those walls rebuilt. To be a city that's rebuilt. Isaiah 58:12. This is what we want to be said of us. I love this. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That's the goal. That where our lives have been without self-control and the walls of that city have been broken down, that then we will be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Our homes, our families, those that we love, will have a safe place to dwell in because the walls have been rebuilt. That's the goal. We don't want to be cities with broken down walls. We want to be called the repair of the breach, the restorer. The Spirit wants to give you self-control. Those of you that are getting baptized today, you're choosing to declare that the old man is dead and the new man is alive. But that area of self-control will always want to have its way. But you need to discipline yourself to be certain that you are so sensitive to the Spirit of God, that everything in your life will be up underneath the control of the Holy Spirit. You say, does God really care about how much I eat? Yes, He does. Does He really care about how much I talk on the phone or how much TV I watch or how much money I spend? Yes, He does. Why? Because if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, you're lacking the fruit of the Spirit. That's why He cares. That's why it's important to Him. Mariah's going to sing this morning, and I just want to take a minute. There's so much that God wants to do with His church. There's so many places He wants to bring us. But if we don't have self-control, we will not move as He moves. We won't go where He wants us to go because our flesh will be in control. And we'll begin to twist and turn the Scriptures to accommodate our beliefs. And so I want to give you a moment to respond before we start our baptism, because particularly for those of you that are being baptized, I don't want you to forget the importance of discipline in your life. Don't let it ever be said that I just thought I could do whatever and I would just be okay. Salvation is a process. We had an altar call for salvation a couple weeks ago, and I kept thinking about the people that still sit in the pews because they remember a day when they gave their life to the Lord 20 years ago, but there's no fruit. And they hang on to that moment. And I tell my students this all the time. I got saved about 15 minutes before I walked into the church this morning. I desperately need the Spirit of God. I desperately need to get saved every day. I am so dependent on Him. Our lives to produce choice fruit for Him. But it's got to have self-control. You got to have it. So I'm going to open the altars for just a minute. If you are in a place where there's an area, I'm not saying, you know, if you're not unsaved, if you've been challenged, I don't even know if I'm born again, then you need to be up here. But there might be an area, there were particular areas of my life when I was on the floor before God in this message, and He said, there, Tina, you're lacking self-control. The fruit of self-control is not there. And I needed to get to that place of repentance and say, I submit that under the control of the Holy Spirit, because I don't want to be a city whose walls are broken down. I don't want to leave room for the enemy to be able to come in and to attack. And I've been a Christian for 30 plus years. And I still see in my life where there's those areas that still need to be submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I want fruit in the area of self-control. Desperately, I want fruit. Because He's worthy. He's worthy of love and joy and peace and all those other things, but He's worthy of self-control. So, Father, this is Your time. Do Your work in Your people, producing fruit, producing the fruit that will remain, oh God. By Your Spirit, impart self-control, that they would align themselves with the truth of Your word, that they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they would crucify the flesh and all of its members, that it would be subject to the Spirit of the living God. So we yield this time to You, Spirit God, to do Your work in Your people for Your glory.